Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. We've been ministering on a passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and I would like to just read that for you. These are the words of John the Baptist, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 12 of chapter 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, there is a lot that the Word is telling us here. Jesus knows those who are just smoking embers right now, and so he's going to fan them with the breath of his life, with the breath of the Spirit, until they burst into flame for the glory of God. Do you want that? That's my heart's desire. So many are just, if you've ever built a fire, you know, there's, as it's starting to die out, there's just those red hot coals, but there's no flame. Well, if you put fresh fuel in there and you have a bellows or just blow on a little bit, it will cause that those embers to catch the new wood, the new fuel on fire, and it will become a blazing fire. So that's what the Lord wants to do with us. If you're feeling sort of lukewarm and you've lost the excitement and joy in serving Jesus, God wants to stir that up. He wants to breathe the breath of his life upon you. But the Lord's also going to do more than that. It says, as I just read, he's going to more than just fan the fire, he's going to burn off the chaff so that there will only be a glorious church. Now, as I shared yesterday, the fan is like a winnowing shovel, and they would throw the grain up in the air, and the wind would cause the chaff and the straw to be blown away, while the heavier the grain would fall to the ground, and that's the way they would harvest it. So he's going to burn up the chaff. He's going to separate the chaff from the wheat. He's going to kindle a holy fire. And beloved, there are many that walk around and they name the name of Jesus. In fact, to me, one of the most frightening scriptures I've read in the Word is when the Lord will say, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So, beloved, it's simply not a matter of quick say this prayer and you'll be saved, and if you die, you'll go to heaven. But, I mean, God knows the heart, and there's situations, someone on their deathbed, that's another matter. But God is looking at the heart, and there has to be a genuine desire to turn from sin, to first of all understand that there is a terrible penalty to sin. Romans, the 3rd chapter, talks about the whole world as guilty before God. And that's what makes the good news of the gospel so good. It's not that God is just going to, you know, the Lord's going to just cause us to have a wonderful, abundant life full of happiness and joy and blessings, but that we are going to be saved from the wrath to come, because at the end of time, at the end of days, the chaff, the workers of iniquity, will be burned up. They will be consigned to the flames of perdition. And beloved, only those who do the will of the Father, only those who really have a heart and understand the tremendous price and the love in God's heart that He reached out to a sinful, dying world because He loved us so much. He wanted fellowship restored. And people, unless you present the gospel to give them an understanding of that they are under a death sentence, for example, you know, if someone came up to you and said, well, you know, you just had a $25,000 fine, a traffic fine, and I want to pay it for you, what would they say? It's like, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, that wouldn't make any sense. And of course, the preaching of the cross is said to be foolishness to them that perish. But if you were specific and you said, you know, you were clocked by a police officer and they found that you were going 30 miles an hour in a 15-mile zone where there was a school children, and there were 10 warning signs and you didn't pay any attention, and they clocked you and you stood before the judge and someone said, well, you know what, I'll pay his fine, I'll pay her fine, wouldn't you be grateful? Because you would be aware and obvious that it was indisputable that you had definitely broken the law. Beloved, every one of us have broken the law of God. That's the purpose of the law. God gave the Ten Commandments. No one could fulfill them perfectly. There's none righteous among us. Even the most godly saint is not sinlessly perfect. But the fact of the matter is we are aware of our condition and we understand that there is one perfect one who satisfy the justice of God. You know, so many sinners today think of God as a judge, and even though, yeah, they don't go to church, and they don't really, you know, they don't take all this religious stuff very seriously, they believe when they die, they're going to go to heaven. Why? Well, they do understand God's a good God. And even though they've done all manner of wicked things in their lives, they're not as bad as other people. So when they stand before the Lord, they're expecting to be excused. Well, imagine someone who was a rapist, a terrorist, a murderer, a thief, a traitor, and all manner of evil. And he stood before a judge and he said, the judge is preparing to sentence him. And he said, well, judge, I believe because you're a good man that you're just going to waive the penalty. And the judge would say, it's because I am a good judge that I will see that justice is done. And you see, God is that way. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection, of those who love God, who have made God the God of their life and want to please Him, and want to walk in holiness, and want to walk in all the benefits of salvation. We're not perfect, but Jesus is working on us to make us perfect. You know, I heard a story just recently of, this was when Russia was under communism, and there was a church service going on, and two Russian guards stormed in the doors, and they shouted, anyone who wants to live, get out of here right now. And of course, there were numbers of people. They got up and quickly left. And then the soldiers shut the doors, locked the doors. They laid down their guns and pulled out their Bibles. And they said they didn't want to be around those who weren't really true believers. Beloved, we're living in a time, and there are Christians, even as I'm speaking to you right now, they are giving up their lives. They are suffering persecution. They're being tortured. They're going through all manner of terrible things. They're suffering for the name and cause of Christ. Beloved, they know what it is to recognize that God he's worthy of whatever it takes. Jesus said, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. But he assured us we would have tribulation. And beloved, a time may be coming when the church, the Revelation talks about that, or Jesus talks about it in Matthew. He said, they will persecute you for my name's sake. And we're required to be faithful unto death if required. Now, beloved, that means that we have to be very serious in our walk with God and understand that we cannot trample on the grace of God. We can't just say, you know, kind of live any old other way and just say, well, you know, I'll just confess my sins and grace will cover it. That's crucifying the Son of God afresh. And, beloved, how dare we do that? Is there any repentance for that? Let me read Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. In Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the word of the Lord says, arise, shine, for your light is come. And let me just sort of paraphrase it this way. Arise, beloved, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Realize that this life will always have its share of trials and troubles. But knowing that, because you have been redeemed from the wrath to come, knowing that you have a Savior, knowing that you've been redeemed from the fires of hell, you can shine, you can be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Beloved, things will get worse in this world. If you think witchcraft and drugs and crime and pornography are bad now, it's going to get worse. But there is something that the world hasn't seen or heard yet, and there is a voice speaking to the church. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Beloved, God wants good wheat in his barn. He won't have any of the chaff. He won't have foolish virgins. They'll try to get in, and the Lord will say, I never knew you. Beloved, now is the time to make sure our calling and election is sure. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me, and we'll continue next time with what the Lord has for us. God bless you. The announcer will give you our contact information, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.